What's poppin', part two, people? Mark's here from the beginning on part two. Mark from Berkeley, Jay from Plymouth, you're from Ferndale, and this is the Drew and Mike podcast at full strength for part two. We've got a little gander at South Park during the break, too.
Yeah, wow.
Looks extremely funny, of course. Yeah, leave it to South Park to kick off the season with just a killer current events. I mean, right just in the balls of what's going on right now.
Yeah, taking on the election, taking on Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, the opening story, they've got these three reporters who are covering the girls' fourth grade volleyball game.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're covering basically how many people will stand or sit for the national anthem of the girl players.
There's one black girl.
Who Randy bets $100 will sit down.
Yeah.
And fortunately, first a white girl sits down about, 30 seconds into the anthem, and then another white girl, then another white girl, and then a black girl sits down.
Finally, yeah.
But it's
and then
over.
Everybody leaves after the anthem.
No one cares
about the game. It's just whether or not people are going to stand for the anthem.
And it was over. They were sitting over internet trolling by someone that they believe is Cartman, but
which
Cartman
of course
denies
it is.
It's him. Yeah, of course.
But it's funny because then they bring in J.J. Abrams for callbacks, and then they go to their own callback kind of meta within itself for the giant douche. Or the turd sandwich, because that's what they did 4 years ago for the election. They're doing it again. Or maybe 8 years ago when they had douche versus turd.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, yeah. I think it might have been 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
Funny shit.
Yeah.
Are they just about to rag on Matt Lauer? Is that what they were about to do?
That's what it looked like, yeah.
Well, why don't you go ahead and roll that? I would like seeing that.
The commander-in-chief forum with a giant douche and a turd sandwich. Back now with the Commander-in-Chief Forum, I am joined by
Mr.
the Republican nominee,
for president.
A giant douche. Thanks, Matt. Mr. Douche, some say you don't actually have a viable plan in place if you were to be elected president. Well, who said that, the turd sandwich? In your campaign, you said that you will deal with our country's immigrants and enemies by personally f***ing them all to death. How do you plan to actually achieve that?
Well, Matt, I don't think I said I would f*** them all to death.
Okay, well, let's roll the tape on that.
Oh, sure, okay.
From last year.
Well, there's only one immigration policy that I believe in, and that's f*** them all to death.
F*** them all to death. Let's make this country great again.
F*** them all to death.
And then I'm going to take all the drug pushers in our country, and I'm going to f*** them.
Pointing all those people in Syria, I'm going to f*** them.
That's why I will make sure that every terrorist on Earth is f*** dead.
Leaders of North Korea,
I'll f*** them all, yeah! 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 Jails, f***ing dead a day after I...
Yeah! Those ads that are trying to kill us, I'll f*** anyone in the advertising business, they'll all die too!
So by our estimates, it's roughly 7.6 million people you have promised to f*** to death in your first year of office.
Okay.
And you think that's achievable?
I do, Matt. I mean, I'm not gonna just get elected, and look like a jackass.
Oh, jeez.
All right, that's kids. Great. Today we have a very special treat.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, boy. I was hoping Matt Lauer was going to be more the butt of the joke.
They might skewer him a little more. Yeah. Don't forget, there's always the turd sandwich.
Yes, of course.
Coming up.
Have you heard much about the iPhone 7?
Oh, yeah, lots.
Does this sound like sort of a letdown?
In what way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, waterproofing is nice, and the stereo speakers are nice, and I'm glad the camera's a little better, but...
The battery.
The battery is improved. Although you lose the headphone jack.
Yeah, which I think people are a little insane about losing the headphone jack, to tell you the truth.
Well, considering they can go wireless, so it doesn't really
matter. Well, not only Bluetooth, but there's also a plug that you can just stick into the lightning cable area and then plug your headphones into that.
But, I mean, for a rollout of iPhone 7, is that enough to make people buy the phone?
God, that's a good question. I think to this point it is. I mean, what did 6 really bring you that 5 didn't? I mean, a little more security, nothing really up front. It's
I don't even
bigger.
Remember, actually.
Huh?
I don't even remember what 6 had that was better.
They're a little bigger, and the pluses are a little bigger. But they haven't, what else can you do to it? I mean, going wireless is pretty, that's pretty ballsy. Getting rid of the headphone jack is pretty ballsy.
Right. Well, isn't it what allows them? What is it? The battery size?
That's the big part. I mean, they allow for more battery now, which isn't that everybody's big complaint about their cell phone?
Certainly a complaint. Yeah, no doubt.
And the base model has a lot more memory to it. So I don't know. Is it gonna? How many people really upgrade their phone as often anymore?
I don't know. You know, I really don't. I know they want us to.
But isn't that just a function of the fact that so many people have a cell phone now?
Yeah, I think so. Although, I mean, there was a time when the leaps and bounds were big enough that people go, oh, my God, look at that. I got to have that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because phones, especially with younger people, I mean, phones are such a status thing.
Yeah. They also got rid of the home button, too, right? Which really stood Apple out from a lot of the other ones.
Oh.
There's no button anymore. It's more pressure. It's no actual button. It's just a pressure and responsive or some crap.
I don't know why that matters. Is it really a big deal?
To not have it?
Yeah.
I think it's always nice to have a button.
I think I would like to have a button.
Oh, I think most people would. But then again, when you're taking up space, that could be used for a screen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's all about space.
Alrighty.
How about the iOS 10 upgrade?
Yeah, I heard that was a big bomb for some reason. Weren't there big problems with it?
Yeah, Apple says they've got it fixed now. So, and there's a process you can go if it did brick your device, as they called it.
Oh, really?
You know, there's steps you can go through to correct it. But, yeah, there's another kind of a flop out of the gate.
I'll probably update it in about, like, 7 months when I get around to it. I told you I'm at a point now in my life where everything's just good enough.
There are more Samsung blow-ups, by the way.
Yeah, I saw the one car that was driving down the street or whatever.
Lordy, Lord. I mean, that's huge.
And yet they still have not ordered a recall on it.
No.
So much so that our federal government had to say, don't turn your phone on. Don't charge it up.
You know somebody's going to take that phone on a plane, and it's going to blow up on a plane, or it's going to be some kind of incident on a plane, don't you think?
Well, yeah, so much so that now the announcements are to not power, if you have a Samsung 7 Galaxy, whatever the hell it is,
right?
Do not power it up on this plane.
But someone's going to do it.
Yeah, but even so, I wonder how likely it would be to blow up.
I don't know, as likely as it would anywhere else.
Sure, sure, but I mean, it's still a minuscule chance. I wouldn't want to risk it on a plane.
Hell no. But, you know, that jackass that has to be on his phone.
Yeah, oh, I know. I worry more about the dope that would pack it.
Yeah, I know. They made a big to-do about that in the news tonight, about not packing it.
Yep. Well, hopefully they'll catch him.
But they can't catch anyone doing anything when
true.
It comes to packing.
Damn it. Just don't fly. Just don't go anywhere, do anything ever, anybody.
Yeah, cut it out, assholes. You missed a good hunk of part one, so I'm just trying to think of what we didn't get into in part one, that or what in part one you might want to talk about.
We talked about Trump, right? And the
and you know,
his medical records.
The point that I was really making about Trump was, I'm starting to, well, two things. One, on the one hand, and these points almost are diametrically opposed. On the one hand, I really feel sorry for the people in Flint that it just seems like they're being used so badly for people to show up there.
Sure.
I mean, when I was watching Trump at the water plant, he's looking at the water like, those water molecules look okay? Is that what I expect them to look like? I think there's too much of this in the water. I think that might be part of the problem. Is anyone looking into that? You know, like he's going to really discover
You're
something.
Fired. He's just walking around firing people.
Why not? And, you know, then when he gets to the church, you know, people are booing the shit out of him. And she embarrasses him by telling him they don't want any political bullshit. When you know full well, if Hillary was blistering his ass at that church, would she have stopped her?
No.
Of course not.
No.
This one's easy for me. You're fired.
But he knows that. He should have known that.
Well, I think it's pretty traditional. It's pretty traditional when a candidate shows up somewhere that they get to give their rap. And people don't go. People never go up and say, "Hey, you're to cheer this fucking school. What are you doing talking about this crap?"
He's the non-traditional candidate,
but he was doing the traditional candidate thing.
Remember how much shit he gave Obama and Hillary for not showing up to Baton Rouge? Rightfully so, by the way. But it look how long it took him to get to Flint. So is this really what it's about? We really want to challenge the other party immediately, whatever side you're on, to, well, you're a bad candidate. You didn't show up to X in time.
Well, those things, to be honest, well, this is the point I was making, was in Flint's case, I really feel sorry for the people because none of these people showing up can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they show up because it's a good photo op. And then on the other hand, I still think it's kind of stupid to boo someone who shows up when you're in a situation like people are in Flint, because all it does is, I mean, it keeps the story in the news, which I suppose is a good thing for Flint.
Yeah.
It's really not bad to have Donald Trump in Flint reminding people that, hey, these people are fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was kind of silly to boo him for showing up. Not that his motives are all that altruistic anyway. But when somebody's trying to put the spotlight on how shitty things are where you are, I think it's probably good to just welcome them to some degree. But it was a pretty bloody appearance. And then to be told to shut up about, you know, the other candidate. A little strange, but anyway.
Well, the preacher or the reverend there did tell her congregation to knock it off. He is a guest here, right?
To knock it off?
Yeah, because a lot of people were hooting and hollering him down. So she said, look, he is a guest here. Can we at least respect it?
Well, that's all good and well, but it's still, I mean, for a candidate to not make a political conversation at all, I mean, what did he have to say about the water? He talked for like 2 minutes.
I know, nothing.
Because he doesn't know anything. What does he know about their water that anyone else doesn't know? He probably knows less than, you know, the people who are there working on it by a mile.
He probably just said that it needs to be fixed.
He just said he would fix it.
Yeah.
If he's president, he'll fix it faster.
The right people need to fix it, yeah, and fix it fast.
When he compared about the cars were made in the U.S. and you wouldn't drink the water in Mexico. And
that was actually a good line.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh. Said, you know, it used to be cars were made in Flint and the water was bad in Mexico. Now cars are made in Mexico and the water's bad in Flint. Yeah. Not good.
That's a pretty good line.
Yeah. I don't know if he, I doubt he wrote it, but whatever. Anyway, yeah, that was a weird, that whole scene was just bizarre. And you know, I'm watching...
Do you like that Michigan's in play, though? I feel like it's been forever since anybody cared about this state. It's always been Ohio and Florida.
Is Michigan really in play, though? Isn't she killing? She was ahead
by
about 10
percentage
points. She is
destroying him here, but if he wants to do something, he needs the Midwest. He needs Ohio to spread into Michigan. He could probably lose Florida if he could get Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania.
I'm not really...
It's a Herculean task, though.
I got to tell you, I think this is one election where I think the polls could be really... not necessarily telling the story. And the last poll they had, this is this morning, I think, they were saying that Hillary's at 48 and Trump is at 44. And, you know, that's within the fairly close to the margin of error. In the states that he desperately needs, like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, he's actually made major progress.
Yeah.
There's some other real Republican states, though, where she's in play that she shouldn't be in play. So, you know, it's kind
like
of a...
New Hampshire.
In which Arizona, it's just a messy map. And I would think that at this point, even with just 4 points between them, it looks like she's in pretty good shape. But the fact that he's competing in the major states he has to win certainly makes him interesting at the moment. However, all this polling, this particular poll, was before her collapse on Friday.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unknown. Now, I don't know. I can't imagine there's a Hillary voter going, oh, my God, she collapsed. I'm voting for Trump.
Well, no, it's the independents. It's
right.
Clearly the independents.
Well,
it's also, you know, she just needs people to get out and vote. His people will go out and vote. I think that's the other aspect to it.
I think one thing,
there's a lot of people out there that would only vote for her, not him, that are just going to say, fuck it, I'm not voting for this mess.
One thing that's happening, I think, to her and, you know, for him for the longest time was, oh, my God, how full of shit is this guy? It's just depending on the day, what the day was and what he said or what he tweeted or whatever. I mean, there's just so many missteps. And now it seems like she's doing the same thing. I mean, this thing about not going to the hospital, not telling people she had pneumonia. It's like if she was worried about trust, the trust issue gets worse every time she opens her mouth.
Her best move was only campaigning 11 days in August. because she couldn't go out there and fuck up.
Well, and the best thing for her now is to be off the road and doing nothing.
Yeah, and having Obama and Bill do all the campaigning for her.
She can't say anything stupid. Now, these Colin Powell emails are funny as hell.
Yeah.
You know, to think of what these people really say when they're not talking to us and trying to win votes.
How much do you think the public holds Colin Powell in esteem?
I don't think people are even thinking about Colin Powell right now.
I don't think so either.
But it does bring him out, and I think when his name comes up, it means something. And he just seems to be saying, I'm not sure what he's trying to say. There's one segment in there where, by the way, she took this giant speaking fee.
Yeah.
And he's pissed off because, his gig is canceled or he can't make the money he was supposed to make because she sopped it all up somewhere.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Can you believe that these two people would actually be, that such a subject would make a bullshit of difference to either one of them? How much money there is in a speaking fee because she took it all and there's nothing left for him?
So greedy.
I mean, that actually really makes me kind of sick to think that he would even be discussing that or that even bothers him or he's worried about it. Why do these people deserve all this money to go out and basically throw...
I don't know.
20 minutes of bullshit out at some stupid group that probably doesn't even want to see them speak.
Well, you know, the audience and the corporation doesn't give a fuck what any one of our...
Oh, no, of course they don't. And to think that they think that they deserve this money.
Here's one thing he wrote about Hillary. He said, I'd rather not... This is Colin Powell. I would rather not have to vote for her, although she is a friend I respect. A 70-year-old person with a long track record, unbridled ambition, greedy, not transformational, with a husband still dicking bimbos at home. Who saw that word coming? And he actually puts in parentheses, according to the NYPD.
Ooh.
Dicking bimbos at home.
According to NYPD, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
And he's writing this to a private equity investor. The email is a response to one that Leeds, that's the private equity investor, wrote, which contains some comments saying how former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani thought Clinton would win the election. Quote, they don't like Hillary. They don't think Hillary is stoppable. Everybody is beatable, wrote Leeds, who said he managed to get Giuliani to admit that the president is a decent man. Whoa! Giuliani admitted that Obama's a decent man. The emails also reveal that Colin Powell was urged to run for president by Eric Schinske, former Secretary of Veteran Affairs under Obama. Quote, I do hope for the sake of the Republican Party and our country that there's time for you to consider a late entry in for a run for the White House. We'd all be well served. Colin Powell responded by saying, come on, Rick. I would be 80 upon my first months in office. Yes, every day someone kindly mentions that I should have. I didn't want to, and nothing has changed, and I can't carry the burden of the GOP. They left me years ago. That's pretty damning, him saying that about the GOP.
Yeah. Dickin' bimbos. Dickin' bimbos?
But see, this is why. Now, this line is why people would want him to be president. We've got to stop thinking that a superman or a superwoman can come save us as president until we... super people start fixing things, a president won't help. Toss out congressional incumbents that do nothing, fix taxes, fix the infrastructure, get super rich money out of the system, eliminate gerrymandering, and none of this is presidential. I mean, those are great points.
Well, they all know. They all know that he's right. Mm-hmm. But they'll never do it.
No, it's not to their benefit to... To eliminate gerrymandering.
Cost themselves money?
Of course not.
It was kind of, well, there wasn't a ton, but he had a couple of things in there about how much she despises Obama, refers to him as that man.
Yeah. Yeah, not very fond of Obama.
And they're acting like, you know, the ass-kiss brother and sister for this election.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just disturbing to think that, I mean, I wouldn't think these people really were that crazy about each other, but he's campaigning for her. I mean, just what a pile of bullshit the whole thing is.
Yeah, oh, I don't think Obama...
That man...
I don't think Obama and the Clintons like each other at all.
No. No, Bill Clinton can't stand Obama. Bill Clinton was so pissed off about 1928?
It's all just a big fairy tale. I'm sure that burns Obama to this fucking day.
Yeah. Sure,
it's all fairy tale. Because I think that a lot of people took it as a black guy. That's a fairy tale. When, you know, what he probably was saying is all these things he's promising is a fairy tale. And he was right. Bill was right.
Yeah, he
a
pretty
lot of
much
those
was.
Promises were fairy tales.
By the way, my taxes, my extension.
Yeah.
You know, when you get your taxes extended, which I have to do every year for a variety of reasons. But yeah. Anyway, it's nothing to be oohed for. you know, they're due October 15th. So, you know, it's one of these things I got to get on with it. Also wanted to get the LLC done so we could at least consider doing something with this podcast because we can't do any commerce until we're an LLC. It's just a good idea anyway. So I had to go see my attorney, my accountant. And he's taking care of the LLC business. And then also he was going over my tax return. And there was this, you know, he ran down a bunch of things. Oh, this, you know, you owed for this and this and this and this and this. And, you know, I didn't work the last 3 months of 2015. So it wasn't a really bloody year by any means. But there's this $10,000 amount. I'm going, wait, what's that $10,000? He goes, oh, hold on, I'll get to that. Anyway, we come back to it and I asked him again. He goes, you're not going to believe what that $10,000 is. And I said, well, what is it? He said, it's for Obamacare.
Oh, really? Oh, the additional tax?
He said, that's $10,000 off the top that I would never have paid previously that I'm paying for Obamacare.
Yeah.
And he said, yes.
Thank you.
Because without income, I had to sell investments, you know, just to have money to live on.
Yeah.
When some of which is capital gains, and capital gains have now added a nice percentile that goes straight to Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's an amount that didn't exist. It's a percentage that didn't exist before, exists now. And when you when you start living off your 401k or whatever investments you cash in for whatever reason, you're going to see a nice little hunk of it go right to Obamacare. And, you know, it's not just that I paid 10 grand for Obamacare last year that frosted my ass. What frosted my ass is my medical insurance is double what it was 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Double.
Yeah. Well, plus you're on Cobra.
Yeah, but I was on Cobra before.
Oh, that's right.
It's double. Double.
Is that for all capital gains? Is it a percentage or is
Yes, I believe it is.
It's not long-term or short-term. It's all capital gains?
Oh, that's a good question. I can't say one way or another.
Because I would assume it would
I suspect it's all based on the numbers that I was working with. Because I did not do a ton of... it's not like I was selling a ton of stock or anything. It was a significant amount, but it wasn't that much.
See, I would assume it would be for short term to kind of encourage more long term investment, but...
It's meant for
a person that loses their job. It's meant for people that do short term trading.
It's a significant funding source for Obamacare is what it is.
Yeah.
And actually, they're getting into your pocket in a number of different places, and it's very, very expensive.
Well, I'm glad the exchange exists.
The exchange?
Yeah, the federal health exchange.
Oh, yeah.
It's saving me money. Still expensive as shit, but it's saving me money.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people who are happy it exists. I just don't understand why, you know, we've brought in this extremely expensive component, and yet all of our health care is so much more expensive. Mm-hmm. Unless you're on Obamacare, you're paying out your ass.
Mm-hmm. Would you be happier with a one-payer system? Because you'd probably be paying more in taxes.
I don't know. I'd be happy if
then you wouldn't be paying insurance. Here's
what would make me happy. If they went after the people who are just billing us ridiculous amounts of money for something that should not cost anywhere near. If they ignored the lobbyists.
Yeah.
For people like the insurance companies and the hospitals and the pharmaceutical companies, if they actually forced them to charge a reasonable fucking day's work for what they do.
Yep.
Not
That's
these
not
ridiculous.
Happen.
Well, why shouldn't it happen?
Because they have lobbyists. No, it should, but that's not going to.
Well, I'm tired of lobbyists running the world.
They do, though.
I know they do.
Money
it's disgusting.
Everything.
It's
I know.
Fucking disgusting. And, you know, these people who work in high places in our government, whether it's, you know, for the president or it's the president himself or it's somebody in the cabinet who then start representing foreign countries. Mm-hmm. And they have access to all these people, and they don't even work in the interest of our country when they get out. And they don't have to wait a year to do it. It's disgust. I mean, it's just sick the way people get wealthy off. Ugh, you know, what's the point?
Well, whoever wins this election is going to fix everything.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it will.
Shows you really how pointless all this anger, all this preaching on social media and preaching all over the place. It doesn't mean anything. Doesn't
much.
Really
it's
matter.
It's not going to matter a whole hell of a lot which one of them is president either. The stock market will react for 3 days, and then it'll go back to where it was.
Yeah.
Household income was up for...
It's up a lot.
Yeah, it was
medium,
up significantly.
Medium income?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
54, I think, is 50, the median.
57,000, okay. I think, actually. But it was the biggest jump in quite some time. But you know what's interesting is that it's still not at the levels it was at in 2007.
Yeah.
We still have not recovered from that recession. Not fully, anyway. And that's true of home prices, too.
That's the knock on Obama. Yes, the economy is humming along now, and it's doing great, but a lot of people feel that if he didn't have restrictions on certain things, it would be humming a lot better than what it is now.
And I'm stunned that the $2 trillion, what do you call it? What did he call it? The $2 trillion that were spent on, that he just unleashed on the United States, the surplus,
uh-huh.
That it was so wasted and so mm-hmm. poorly planned. And well, what do you expect? It's government.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just send out $2 trillion into the hands of 50 states and say, hey, spend it well. Because they can't do that. They're not responsible. They just don't. They've never functioned that way. They never will. And, you know, and to tell people in typical fashion, and companies do the same thing, but, hey, you got this long to spend this much. Good
mm-hmm.
luck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these tiny little police departments in some of these small areas are, oh, my God, we can buy this, and we can buy all this anti-terrorism equipment that we would never, ever need.
Well, plus the like federal that. Government is selling that to them, too.
Yeah.
Because it's left over from the war. So now you have these militarized municipalities.
That would never be threatened in a million years.
Of course not.
And, you know, in Michigan, what happened the first year? $1.5 billion was spent to plug a budget deficit. So, in other words, instead of... I know, it's such horseshit. And that was Granholm's last year.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Instead of saying, oh, my God, we are not... You know, our expenditures and our costs and our revenues are way out of whack. Instead of cutting... programs, jobs, whatever, they just said, oh, hey, there's $1.5 billion. Just plug it in and everything's fine. We can do it for another year.
Instead
Isn't that
of,
great?
Instead of
dealing with the problem.
Yeah, instead of cutting expenses and generating revenue, it's like, can you imagine doing that in your personal life? You're running a deficit, so instead of...
Well, it's like your dad basically saying, you're living $150,000 too high on the hog every year. Here's $150,000.
And then you change
nothing.
Oh,
shit, I can do it another year.
Change nothing.
Oh, awesome.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I keep going to the casino every Friday night. Thanks, Dad.
Bullshit.
I don't think how stupid that is.
But
how
it works.
Ignorant it is.
It works in that scenario if you're just going to leave all those problems behind like Granholm did. And just bolt.
Right, and it was your last year. It was your last year anyway.
So if you knew it was that last year of your problem, why not? Why bother? Leave someone else's problem now.
And to think that she is considered like this prime candidate for a cabinet
attorney general.
Attorney general.
I bet you anything.
Are you kidding me?
Oh shit!
Really?
Would you be surprised?
Well, on the one hand, absolutely. In terms of her competence,
based on politics. And where she's been and how she's been out and about and how tied she is to the Clinton campaign.
No, it doesn't shock me, except that I know she's not a terribly competent person. So how could she possibly hold a job like that? I mean, that's ludicrous.
She was governor of a state. Who's going to bitch too much about it other than the people that lived in that state?
Yeah, that know her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like when Dukakis was nominated, people in Massachusetts, because I lived there at the time, we were stunned. Mike Dukakis, really? Are you kidding? And Massachusetts was a disaster. Massachusetts was running a ridiculous deficit. You know, people called it Taxachusetts. It was a horror show.
Who did he beat in the 88? That's when Jesse Jackson ran, right, in 88?
Yeah, Jesse Jackson
was ran in 88. Was that Gary Hart?
Yeah, Gary Hart bumbled out.
Well, shit, no wonder he won. Who else would have been up?
It was remember he's the son of Greek immigrants. That's what he would always say.
You know,
son of Greek immigrants.
I remember that.
Oh,
John Lovitz playing him on SNL.
Oh, did John? Yeah, yeah
say
yeah.
it all the time. Was he really short too?
Yeah, he's short.
I remember
short.
Lovitz walking up to the on the debate, walking up to the stand, and then just standing there, and you could barely see when you just hear, bzzz, and you see him slowly raise up in height.
And then how about Kitty Dukakis drinking rubbing Windex, alcohol yeah. and cologne to get high?
Oh man!
Oh my God!
But yeah, the thing that really buried him.
The tank. Can you pull up a picture of Mike Dukakis in the tank helmet? Oh my God, did he look stupid? I mean, that was almost. I almost agree with that. Is absolutely
it is
insidious
too dumb.
That
but
it is.
Remember what George H.W. Bush did in that
Politico
campaign
oral history thing?
No. That Bush that was running against him, Herbert Walker. Do you remember what he did in that campaign, which is just as ludicrous?
Yeah, it was all about the.
At the grocery store, the scanner. He didn't
the
know,
scanner,
he
that's
didn't know
right.
what a UPC symbol or a scanner worked in 1988. And everyone's like, how relatable is this guy?
Mike Dukakis is wearing a helmet and it says Mike Dukakis on it. How stupid.
Well, the worst part is he's got a fucking tie on.
I know, he looks ridiculous. Look at his eyebrows.
You know he's hard as hell, too.
I wonder what the fuck he's doing now, Mike Dukakis. I have no earthly idea.
He's probably staring at that picture getting hard. I'm thinking about how badass he looks.
Oh, my God, does he look stupid.
What a major gaffe.
Yeah, that's bad.
Well,
and to think that, I mean, he was leading in the polls by a lot. Remember, he was up like 18% or something?
He was?
Yes. Oh, my God, yeah. He was way ahead.
He's the son of Greek immigrants. Oh, wow.
Lordy, lordy.
What is he doing now? Let's see. It doesn't even say what he's doing.
You know, I was reading about John Engler, what John Engler's doing. He's doing nothing. I mean, he's part of, like, the wonkiest bullshit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and gets paid a lot for it. I mean, just these wonky committees and, yeah, it's just baloney.
Oh, what a surprise. Dukakis teaches at UCLA.
Ooh.
They live in Brookline, Mass, and then L.A. in the winter, where that's when he teaches at UCLA.
I wonder how hammered Kitty's getting.
Wasted. So wasted.
She was highly vacuous. highly vacuous. Not just saying that because of the drinking. That would have been a wacky first lady. God, I can't. That's just insane to think about the fact that he was almost president. Well, he really wasn't almost president, but he was a really good candidate for a while there.
Thanks to Willie Horton.
Yeah, well, that was one of his furloughs, which were bullshit. Why would you furlough a rapist? A murderer, a rapist. I mean, somebody, a violent criminal. Why would you let them out for a weekend? Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. And, of course, he raped someone.
Wow. All right. You want to hear the people that ran against him? I mean, no wonder he was nominated by the Democrats, which it's funny. Is such disarray as they say the Republican Party is now. The Democrats were in pretty bad disarray 30 years ago in the middle of Reagan. He had 42.5% of the popular vote in the primaries.
Uh-huh.
Jesse Jackson was number two, 29.15%.
He won Michigan, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Wow. Al Gore was third, 13.68%. Dick Gephardt was fourth. Paul Simon in a stupid bow tie. And then Gary Hart.
Gary Hart, that whole Gary Hart thing was so funny. He was such a pussy hound. He hung out with Warren Beatty. They were buddies. They were pussy hound buddies. And Donna Rice, what a phony she is. You know, she's banging this guy, and he's telling him, hey, you think I'm screwing around? Follow me around. You think I'm so bad? They follow him. They catch him in Bimini playing in a house band, playing the maracas in a house band. With Donna Rice on the cover of the Inquirer. Oh, my God. And then she becomes this anti-porn activist, which is such
that's
crap.
That's what we talked to her. Let's see if I have her number still. I do. You want to call her?
Yeah, let's dial her up. Right. Why not?
Where's that area? Okay, it's only 9-ish o'clock there. She can be up.
You know, that was such baloney. You know, oh, yeah, I've had the wildest sex. I've fucked all the people I can fuck. Now I don't want anybody else to do the same thing on film. I want an end to this pornography stuff. I don't want people screwing like rabbits. I've done all I can do, and I'm done, and you're done too.
Maybe she can explain why Hinkley can't watch porn. Hink dog.
Oh, that's a good question.
There you go. There's her number.
I just would like to find out if she thinks she has really done much to stop the pornography.
Oh, man. That is a... What a tough
She's just going to be so whacked out if she answers the phone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
Huh? What? Why are you calling me?
About porn.
Yeah, what's going on with porno? What's going on with porno? Hey, Donna, what's going on with porno? Porno. Why do people call it porno?
It's too hard to say pornography. About Rice.
Yeah, is Donna Rice there, please?
Hello. You've reached the office of Enough is Enough. Please leave your message at the
enough
sound of the
enough.
Tone.
Yeah,
and
once
if
you've had enough.
Urgent or a media request, please
just
contact
you had enough
Donna
cock.
At ricehughes@aol.com.
AOL?
ricehughes@aol.com. Thank you and have a great day.
AOL?
Hey, Donna, just wondering, how's your efforts going to fight porno? Do you think there's as much porno out there as there used to be? Anyway, thanks a lot. Good luck with a porno
bye-bye.
Battle. See ya.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. And her legs are going, ah!
Enough is enough. Starring Jennifer Lopez. Oh, speaking of J-Lo, you see she's getting back together with Ben Affleck.
What?
Which, what's the first thing you think of when you hear Jennifer Lopez is getting back together with Ben Affleck?
Oh, of course I think of the movie.
You do? Geely?
Geely. Yeah. Or, well, Bennifer. What else am I not, hitting
you
it?
You don't think about Vincent James resurrecting his music career?
Yes, of course. Forever love is so hard to find. Yeah. This song is dedicated to Ben and Jennifer.
Dear Ben and Jennifer.
I mean, he should have been shot for having that ridiculous intro on that song.
Well, how many lives is that song going to have? Because, you know, he started dating another Jennifer. He married Jennifer Gardner, and then, of course, he divorces her, and now he's back with Jennifer Lopez, so he gets to reunite it.
But I still maintain the most amazing thing about Vincent James was that he answered the phone. He had two lines, one in the house and one in the studio, and he answered the studio line by saying, "Music." Music. And when he was in the house, he said, "Hello."
If he doesn't know this news, we should try calling him just to break the news to him.
Yeah,
the good news. That's why we're calling so late, too, Vincent, is to break the good news.
And to hear if he answers the phone, "Music."
See, he doesn't...
have the intro on there anymore. He took it off.
Well, now he's got to put it back on. He should be up all night putting it back on there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on a track. I doubt he erased it. He's really back with J-Lo? I didn't know that.
Yeah, according to Life and Style.
What about Casper?
Well, that's funny. He comes up in it.
Forever love is always on my mind.
Wait, what's the Casper deal?
So Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck have finally decided to return to each other now that both of them are single again. J-Lo's infectious personality and otherworldly good looks were too much.
No more of that music, please.
They were too much for Affleck to resist, and Affleck's sour, bourbon-tinged pheromones were no match for J-Lo's better judgment. A source tells Life and Style it was Lopez who made first contact, reaching out to men after dumping Casper Smart.
Yeah, he didn't want to go to some event she wanted to go to.
Listen to this line. After dumping Casper Smart, a presumably well-endowed dancer she had been feeding and sheltering for some time.
He had allowance. She gave him allowance. $10,000 a month, supposedly.
The only thing that's making Bennifer's 1.0's transition to Bennifer 1.1 tricky is the fact that Bennifer 2.0's divorce has been yet to be made official, but sources say Jennifer Gardner has finally told Ben the relationship is over.
Yeah, she took him back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After he was nailing the nanny.
Yeah, it wasn't
I would think
flight.
That'd be really hard to take him back after nailing the nanny.
Yeah, he's sending her all over the country.
Yeah. But sure. Then after she took him back, he was apparently still fucking around.
Yeah. Wasn't Tom Brady on one of those flights or something?
I don't know.
I thought there was a picture of the nanny like trying on all Tom Brady's rings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here's Vincent James's number, so we can just break the exciting news to him.
I thought Affleck was, I mean, he acts like Mr. Sincere, Mr. Righteous.
Yeah.
And yet he sticks his dick in anything.
Well.
Remember, that's why he and Jennifer broke up, because remember he went to a titty bar and went ape shit on some stripper? Remember that?
Ape shit.
He did.
What kind of animal?
And she sold her story to the tabloid.
Yeah.
And supposedly, I think he even, did he go home with her or something? I mean,
How else are you going to go ape shit if you don't go home with him?
That's true. Well, maybe in the champagne room.
Enough is enough.
No more for anyone.
Oh my God, you can get porn-free Wi-Fi? Why? Porno-free.
Hey, it's called porno. What do you mean porn? It's porno.
She's Donald Trump on her website.
It's driving me crazy. I just was reading about someone who calls it porno. Who was that?
Porno. That's how Donna Rice should answer it. Enough is enough. Porno.
I like porno. You know, every once in a while, I like to put on some porno.
His outgoing message just be music. Beep.
That was so lame. It was so stupid. As soon as he told us, he knew he made a huge mistake. Because we asked about, there were about 10 follow-up questions.
Yeah, no, the focus strictly became on how he answered the phone.
Exactly. Well, he answered the phone very instantly. You know, music. It's like, what? Oh, nothing. No. What do you mean? You said music. What was that all about? Well, when I'm in the studio, that's how I answer the phone. Wait, well, you have another line? How do you answer the phone? You answer the line.
Hello?
On and on.
He probably never gave it a second thought until you brought that up to him.
No, no one had called him out, which is wrong. Someone should have, the first person he ever answered the phone for should have said something.
Oh, if anything, I bet people told him it was a good idea for way too long.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now I know what number I'm calling.
Yeah, then I always know when you're in the studio.
It's like when, landlines aren't as prevalent? What? Aren't as prevalent as they used to be.
Prevalent,
what? So I always loved it when people with home lines would call and I would go, where are you? When clearly they were at home.
Oh.
An idiot. Second number, Mark, goes right to voicemail, but it's him. Does he say music?
Oh.
No. Oh. You can break the news to him?
It could still give us some insight into which line is the music.
Hi, this is Vincent, and I can't get to the phone right now. Please leave your name and a phone number, and I'll call you right back. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Vincent, this is the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit. I know you remember us very well for not all the fondest reasons, but if you remember, we were very, very fascinated by the fact that you answered the phone music in your studio. We had a long discussion about that.
But nobody played Forever Love or your other tunes as much as we did.
Yeah, we did. We played it a lot. And we wanted you to know, if you didn't know, that allegedly...
Sit down. Make some room in those pants, Vincent.
Ben and Jennifer are back together. And the intro, that spoken word intro on the beginning of Forever Love, can be returned to the song.
You can really capitalize on this, man.
Yeah, this might, couldn't be Hitsville, USA for Forever Love.
You gotta get a press release out there. We got a lot of work to do.
All right, Vincent. And hope you're still answering that phone music. That's wild. If you still have the studio, I'm sure he's got to have the studio.
He's
right?
The number still worked.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Thanks, Vincent. Good luck.
Music.
With Forever Love. Music.
All right. Bye bye.
See you. Vincent James.
You think he'll be excited when he hears that?
I think he will. I think he will put out a press release, too. He'll tell the whole story of the song. He alleged that he got requests for it when he played, and we were like, why? Who plays the song? No one plays the song. How can anyone know it to request it? He alleged that people did.
at the Teddy Bear Factory, the Vermont Teddy Bear Factory, where he played every Valentine's Day.
That's right.
I can't believe he was a good dude.
I know. He was trying really hard.
Oh, he's just a little different than us.
Okay, Cookie Johnson, Magic Johnson's wife. Yes, Magic Johnson has had a wife for 25 years, and she has decided it's time to tell her story. It's time to break her silence. I'm actually very excited about this.
Why? Why is she? No, not why. Not why are you excited? But why is she breaking her silence?
It makes no sense.
Magic is loaded.
I know. No, she has no. Well, maybe she. Maybe he doesn't give her much allowance. She wants her own money.
Maybe EJ spent it all.
Oh, who knows? I bet you she's super tight with EJ. I wonder how tight Magic is with EJ. Based on this book, I don't know. Anyway, it's the piece that they're promoting, of course, is Magic's announcement that he had attained the AIDS virus. Mm-hmm. And they have tried to revise history with that announcement, by the way, claiming that he said he obtained, not attained, the AIDS virus. But we all know, and you all know if you've been listening to us, that he said he attained the AIDS virus. In fact, is the audio... I don't know if we probably don't have it loaded here, but
I doubt it.
You want to see if the Magic announcement is, it's got to be in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. You clearly can hear him say he attained the AIDS virus.
He tried hard.
He was proud of it.
He tried hard to get it.
Anyway, Cookie, his Magic's net worth is $600 million on celebrity net worth.
Wow.
EJ's net worth is $2 million? How does EJ have $2 million?
Get that show, the TV show. Maybe it's a fashion line.
Come on, really?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Magic, after he announced attaining the AIDS virus, he had to explain, he had to go in a private room and pull out his Rolodex and call all the whores he had nailed that he had tested positive for HIV.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine?
And he had never used a condom, ever.
Well, he's Magic.
I know, but he's Magic. With Magic's fortune, how could he not use a condom? Here's the announcement.
First of all, let me say late afternoon. Because of the HIV virus that I have attained,
attained.
I will have to retire from the Lakers today. I just want to make clear, first of all, that I do not have the AIDS disease, because I know a lot of you are want to know that, but the HIV virus.
What?
The AIDS.
My wife is fine. Disease. She's negative.
You know who else
so
referred to as
no
the AIDS
her.
Was Larry King.
Do you know when you had the AIDS?
I've been going on living for a long time, bugging you guys like I've always have.
Yeah, right. You've
so
been
you'll
dead
see
in
me
5 years.
Around. I plan on being with the Lakers in the league. Hopefully David will have me for a while.
I have attained the AIDS disease.
And I guess now I get to enjoy some of the other sides of living that because of the season and the long...
Oh, come on, Magic. All the ass you can't get anymore?
Practices and so on.
I wonder how much ass you tried to get and was turned down.
And
I mean, people wouldn't touch him. People wouldn't shake his hand for a while.
For the HIV virus.
Well, they didn't want him playing, remember? They didn't want him playing in the All-Star game. Well, not the All-Star game when he came back.
Remember when he came back and he cut his knee?
And that was the All-Star game, right? Wasn't it?
No. It was a regular. It was an exhibition game, actually.
Okay.
And he cut his knee and
the
game was stopped because they'd made the rule that if there was any blood, you know, you had to stop the game and all that. And the whole, you could hear a pin drop in that arena because Magic was bleeding.
It's so awful.
I know.
It's so awful, but it's so weird.
I know. And what about, you know, Magic being the hugger kind of guy he was? And
I know.
He was talking about
making
how nobody
Isaiah,
wanted to hug him anymore.
Mark McGuire.
Oh, it's weird. So anyway, Cookie.
I think of one of those stupid jokes. Do you know Magic got AIDS?
Oh.
He blew a piston in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They found Corium in his butthole.
Ooh.
That joke's not even that funny. It doesn't make any sense.
There were so many people that claimed that he had boo-fooed Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, and Mark McGuire, because they were besties.
But you remember he used to make out with Isaiah before the games?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So people just thought, oh, they're kissing because they're lovers.
God, we were so stupid back then.
I know.
Isn't it amazing the passage of time?
I know it wasn't that long ago either. I mean, 25 years. But it all starts, the way it starts is so stupid, too. I have attained the AIDS virus.
Well, plus, nobody knew anything about AIDS other than
including him.
A gay disease, quote unquote.
I do not have the AIDS disease.
The AIDS.
Wait, the AIDS disease? It's not a disease? A disease?
Well, it's a syndrome.
Is it a disease, technically? No, it's not a disease, is it?
Obviously a virus.
Yeah. Cookie writes that she and Johnson had not even married 45 days when she got the phone call that changed her life.
Was she like, oh, well, at least I got married.
Johnson called her up and said, I'm coming home early because I have to tell you something. Cookie tightened her grip on the receiver and could feel herself becoming nervous. Johnson said, I have to talk to you, but I'm on my way to the doctor's office right now.
What?
I'll tell you what's going on when I get home, Cookie. I can't tell you over the phone.
Then why are you calling me, Magic, and telling me even that?
I know, this is so bogus.
Until after the goddamn doctor's appointment.
You know, she really makes him sound like an idiot in this.
Well, he sounds like an asshole there, doesn't he?
Yeah, completely. Cookie writes that her husband's hushed words sent a chill creeping over my heart. She thought he had suffered a career-ending injury. Really? She's that upset about that?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Wanted a divorce.
What could it be?
Or was leaving her. She asks, what's wrong? Do you have AIDS or something?
What's wrong? Is you gay or something? She sounds like Propecia.
That's exactly what I thought.
What's wrong? Is you gay or something? What's wrong? Do you have AIDS or something? What's the first? She probably was joking when she said it.
What's wrong? You got AIDS or something?
Yeah. Later. Click.
Johnson did not reply. An hour later, Johnson walked through the door. His 6'9" basketball superhero looked small, blank, broken. Cookie writes, my husband walked toward me, took my hand into his, and slowly marched me into the den. Two of us sat on the floor of our huge Chase Lounge, and I held my breath. Johnson broke the devastating news to her, and they fell into each other's arms. She doesn't mention the fact that he said, Cookie, I have attained the AIDS virus.
And she
don't have the AIDS disease.
And she laughed, thinking that he was joking back, because she said, what's wrong? Do you have AIDS or something? So she thought he was going with that joke.
Plus, she was thinking, you don't attain the AIDS virus. It's not a prize, man.
Yeah,
that's
don't try
that's
to
not
get
funny.
It. Is that something you're awarded?
Cookie was pregnant with their first child, EJ, ironically, at the time. After the initial numbness passed, both were terrified the baby might also have HIV. Johnson told her she would leave. Johnson told her she could leave if she wanted, but she grabbed his hand and put it in her belly.
Aw.
We're going to beat this together, she told him, and ordered him to get on his knees and pray. Get on your fucking knees and pray!
That's incredible, though. She could have bolted.
Don't you think he would have said, I'm not praying right now. I don't feel like praying.
Get on your knees and get on it.
Then the most humiliating part of all, Johnson locked himself in a room and called the long list of women with whom he'd been intimate.
Two months later, he emerged.
Is intimate the right word? Would you call that intimacy?
Made love. With whom he'd boned.
Johnson's doctors told him he had 3 years to live.
Oh my gosh.
To deal with the stress, he'd shifted into warrior mode and buried himself in organization. But that first task, I mean, he knew that would take forever to call all those chicks. Cookie said she stopped thinking about the past and future, and she found that the only way to survive was to breathe your way through the moment and the next, and then each one that follows. Every morning I'd wake up in a panic, worried that I might too have the AIDS disease. No, she said I might be HIV positive and die.
Wow.
The biggest challenge the family faced there was how to handle Johnson's public announcement. That's the biggest challenge. No, it's not the biggest challenge. I mean, it's the
biggest
challenge
is beating the disease.
Duh. Lakers have been saying Johnson was out with flu-like symptoms and jet lag. So in the days after his diagnosis, Johnson and Cookie had a meeting with Elizabeth Glazer, the prominent AIDS activist who's married to Starsky and Hutch star Paul Michael Glazer.
Oh, her story is awful.
I know. She got AIDS through a blood transfusion, unknowingly giving it to her daughter through breastfeeding. Oh, my God.
That's awful.
Sure, Johnson had become a public face of the condition, and he agreed. Press conference took place November 7th in front of a room packed with journalists. Johnson said, because of the HIV virus I have attained, I will have to retire today from Lakers. I do not have the AIDS disease. They didn't include that part of the quote. And they also said that the HIV virus I have obtained.
That's misattribution.
It's bullshit.
Not what he said.
You know, it was like a bomb going off. I remember that. God, I swear to God, people were like friends were calling me long
distance. I know where I was.
I know where I was too.
When that happened. Because my football coach told me, I said, shut up. What are you talking about? I didn't believe him.
He's not attained the AIDS virus.
Nobody attains a virus.
John Snow said under speculation he was gay or bisexual. Comments he refuted an article for Sports Illustrated at the time. In the piece, Johnson said, I was no Will Chamberlain, but I did live a bachelor lifestyle before getting married. A bachelor lifestyle. I wouldn't call that a bachelor lifestyle.
A bachelor lifestyle. I was intimate.
I made love to a number of women. I'm certain I was infected by having unprotected sex with a woman who has the virus.
Wow.
The problem is, no, that's a brilliant deduction. I mean, that's really something magic. How'd you come up with that? The problem is I can't pinpoint the time, the place, or the woman. It's a matter of numbers.
Yikes.
What numbers?
How many are there, magic?
Before I was married, I was never at loss for female companionship.
Companionship?
I confess that after I arrived in L.A. in 79, I did my best to accommodate as many women as I could.
Accommodate what? All the female companions I had because I was living the bachelor lifestyle, so I might have gotten intimate.
Who talks this way?
You were banging chicks, man.
I did my best to accommodate. I mean, he's acting like women are just diving for his penis.
Yeah.
Look, you're going to have to wait your turn. I'll accommodate you as best I can. Take a number. Make an appointment. Most of them through unprotected sex. Rather than turn his back on Johnson, former NBA commissioner David Stern stood. Oh, who cares about David Stern? You know, in that Showtime book, Norm Nixon, the Laker guard, remember he had boned multiple women that Magic had also boned, and he was freaking out.
That's right.
Johnson was also allowed to join the U.S. Olympic team that year after support from Michael Jordan.
Yeah, because they didn't want him on there, right?
Some guys didn't want him.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Others disagree. Karl Malone, who played alongside Johnson in the Olympic team, called for him to be banned from the game.
There you go.
Get that AIDS guy off out of this game.
That guy's got the AIDS.
He got the AIDS disease.
The AIDS around.
You don't have the AIDS disease, he's going to have it in no time like everybody else.
He's too busy accommodating all these women.
After two attempts to rejoin the NBA, Johnson left the game for good. He shifted into focus to the Magic Johnson phone. Yeah, whatever.
Where's the
part
about?
The next part.
Is it about Cookie dating him?
Yes, Cookie writes that throughout, she'd been at his side. She says that any troubles they went through after their marriage were arguably, this is amazing, not as bad as the 12 years on and off relationship they had before their wedding. So in other words, going through this whole AIDS disease thing was nothing compared to Magic's activities before they were married.
He had a lot of women to accommodate.
Yeah.
It's hard.
She and Johnson met in their freshman year at Michigan State, and despite her misgivings about dating a basketball star, she agreed to be his girlfriend. Cookie describes getting close to Johnson as an awkward dance toward intimacy, and that the prying eyes of other women were never far away, women that wanted to be accommodated. Cookie describes how one day after they were dating for 3 months, she went to Johnson's dorm only to find a girl in slippers and a robe standing there like she paid rent or some shit. Like that place was hers and she was his girl. Johnson claims she was just a friend. Excuse he would use many times in the future. What an asshole.
He's really good at...
Oh, Cookie, she's just a friend.
He's really good at justifying things, isn't he?
Oh, he's such explaining an, things. He's an asshole.
When really, he just liked the poon. He just wanted to get whatever he could. She's just a friend. She ain't paying no rent.
His dick was so in charge.
Yeah. But it really didn't stop him because then he started, what's this other one? He dated a girl, took her to some event.
He took some girl to the Delta Ball, an exclusive event for the sorority Delta Sigma Theta. Cookie found out when she saw a photo of the two on the floor of Johnson's car.
Oh, so she didn't even know before.
No, so Magic's renting a tux, you know, he's buying a corsage. And
yeah.
I'm going out with the boys tonight. He goes to the Delta Ball, leaves a photo on the floor. What an idiot.
He didn't care. Probably gave her some lame excuse, too, beforehand.
Oh, that's a high school prom.
No, but I mean, even before that, she probably wanted to do something that night. He had to make some bullshit excuse.
John stole Cookie. He kind of had to take her. She's just a friend. Turned out Johnson was actually dating the girl and broke up with Cookie rather than commit to her.
Ooh.
During the next 12 years, they repeatedly got back together and made up again. Johnson's career took off, and after being a first-round pick in the NBA, he joined the Lakers. His relationship with Cookie remained stormy, and Johnson called off their wedding 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine when he did that the 3rd time?
And that she stayed with him? I mean,
why? You think her parents would be going, look, don't, this guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
Cookie writes out that when they fought, he would hang up on her and refuse to call back.
That's a good move, man. Well, he's Magic Johnson, after all.
Third engagement fell apart over Johnson's refusal to cancel his notorious Lakers pool party, which was men only and frequented by strippers and groupies in bikinis.
Nice. Sounds like a great
party. Not canceling that, Cookie. It's a great party. Guys, wait for this the whole year. We look forward to this.
We do it every year.
Hot stripper in town.
How do you accommodate all these people? Just because you, one person, one Cookie, wants it canceled.
It's the hottest strippers in town. The hottest piece of ass in Los Angeles. This is where all the hot women are. This is Hollywood, Cookie. Every hot bitch in this town is going to be here. In a bikini.
He pulls this move of where he hangs up the phone on her all the time.
I know, what a dick.
And it happens again with the pool party.
He's such an asshole.
He kind of is, isn't he?
Strippers and groupies in bikinis, so they have to show up in a bikini, I
guess? Absolutely. It's the only way.
And the players' wives are calling her?
Yeah. Well, because they know Magic's in
charge. Cookie, get this thing canceled!
They know Magic's in charge.
Cookie was like, yeah. Every hot bitch, every hot strip in town's going to be there, Cookie! Cookie was alarmed after calls from the wives of other Laker players who said she had to get him to stop it, but he refused. Johnson repeatedly hung up the phone on Cookie when she challenged him until she gave an ultimatum. The party of me!
Well, gee,
the strippers of me!
Gee, what did Magic choose? I have no idea.
Every hot stripper bitch in L.A. of me!
What are you going to choose, Magic?
Johnson chose the party. It's the party! And hung up the phone.
Well, after all, you know, the invites have gone out. The
party.
And everything's ordered. People are on their way. You can't just, you know, you can't just not go to the party at that point.
That's true.
You have to go through with the party.
The condoms have been ordered.
Condom, I don't know where no condoms are. I'm Magic Johnson.
The GHB's been ordered. Everything. New sheets, fresh sheets for every bed.
Ugh. Ew.
According to the book, when she tried to call him again, he told her, get off the phone, Cookie. I'm having my party. Would you just shut up? I'm getting off this phone.
God, the amazing thing about this.
Every hot strip in town is coming over. I don't have time to talk to you.
The amazing thing about this is she is writing this book and putting it out, and they're still, like, stronger today than they've ever been.
Well,
and she's writing
whatever
this,
that means.
She makes him out to be such an asshole.
Well, no, we're not even done with him being an asshole.
Oh, man. I like this move of just hanging up the phone.
I know.
Such
I've,
a dick
I gotta,
move.
Gotta work on that.
Such a dick move, though.
Get off the fucking phone. Just shut the hell up. I'm having every hot stripper bitch in town. I can't talk to you right now. What's the matter with you, Cookie?
Yeah, this stuff coming up's all about EJ, isn't it? Because we haven't even gotten to the EJ stuff.
But first, it took days for Johnson to call back. The book does not say if the party happened. Of course it did.
The party had. Not only did the party happen, it raged for days, and that's why it took him days to get back.
Magic blew up so many times at that party. Are you kidding? He called back. I don't know if the party happened or not. It's not important. I just want to apologize.
The book doesn't say if the party happened. Come on.
He apologized, Cookie. And the couple finally got married.
I'm sorry I just had that rage of a party, but it's over now.
Cookie writes that as she walked down the aisle, her friend Sharon burst into tears, causing her to cry too. Sharon, of course, burst into tears because she knew how much ass Magic had.
Yep.
Yeah, Johnson's experience with HIV make his reaction to his son EJ revealing he was gay all the more unfathomable. When EJ was 13, he told Cookie about his sexuality, and his father sat him down to have a frank conversation.
Oh, my God. Would you love to be a fly on the wall for that?
Judging from this part, yes. According to the book, Johnson told his son, I just want you to know, that's not what I thought my son would be, and I'm very disappointed. Are you sure this is what you want?
Wow. What an asshole. That might be worse than any of the stuff he said to Cookie. He's 13.
You know, and he talks like this, too. It's like,
Dad.
Dad, what'd you think? Did you think I was straight? What did you think?
Yes, this is what I want.
Play some audio of EJ, just so we can have an idea of what Magic.
Yes, this is what I want. I'm sorry you're disappointed.
What did Magic think? Because it's going to be a difficult life. It's going to be really hard on you. People will make fun of you. People will be mean to you. Are you sure you're up for that?
Are you sure you're up for that? Like, it's a choice?
Yeah, exactly.
Magic. I mean, I understand what he's saying. He understands that it's going to be hard, but it's not a choice.
Hi, EJ.
Hi.
EJ wearing Joseph.
Yes, love the outfit today.
So tell me, when did you land in our fair freezing city?
1,200 views.
I came in Wednesday night.
So you've been going to some shows? Yeah, I went to the
I can't stand the way he talks.
Last night, and then
not because he's gay.
After parties.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, it's the
Any details you'd like to share?
Is this the same audio?
No, I went to the nylon party. It was fun, and I have some more tonight. I'm all about a good turn up, you know.
He thought this kid was going to be straight.
You know, I had the nylon party tonight, and I'm all about the turn up.
I pack everything.
What do you mean?
Oh, this
I mean,
is
like,
the same
I don't
thing.
Pack, like, yeah, oh, I'm wearing this this day. I just pack up, hang out with, like, other friends together and stuff like that, so it's good.
What's been.
Hey,
the
how long is this thing total, just out of curiosity?
About 20 minutes or so.
Jump to, like, minute 15 and see if he's.
Where we're at right now, yeah.
Oh, this is where we are?
I just jumped. No, I jumped ahead already.
I just wondered if his voice
really
changed or if he got.
Because
you know,
of the show. Yeah. I'm like, okay, but you don't know everything about, you know, all about me, but like,
jump ahead,
I
like
get
just
that
5 minutes.
Know, like, something, so.
I just want to hear something.
I don't know. The last thing I really read was obviously like 50 Shades of Grey. That was like
the last thing I read, obviously. Was 50 Shades of Grey. That just sounds so different and then coming like, out of that voice.
Are you really reading that right now? And I'm like, yes, mind your business.
Yeah, mind your business. Mind your business.
Yeah, because, like, you know, they're just like, isn't that, like, super sexual? And I'm like, I mean, like, it's not turning me on, but, like, you know, it's you know, it's a lot.
You're not, like, hot.
Yeah, I'm also not, like, you know, I'm not, like, a, you know, like a sad housewife. Like, I'm fine. Like,
I'm not, like, a sad housewife. I'm fine.
Like, you know, it's not, like, I'm not all hot and bothered.
What do you think would surprise people about you?
I like putting my penis in a man's buttocks, okay?
A lot of people are surprised
different.
When they meet me.
These are guys that like girls.
More like mellow mm-hmm. and chill. Some people think that I'm like icy and because like they see me on TV. Like that's another thing. Like they see me and I'm always like, oh, like animated.
I think people
and
are
doing
mostly
the most.
Surprised that your
but, like,
father
actually, like,
is Magic
very, like,
Johnson.
Hi, how are you? Like, very
I know
chill.
It is stunning that this is Magic's
like, wow,
son.
Like, so,
this is his only
you know,
son.
Like, chill and normal and you know. Not the absolute woes. I'm like, I'm not always the absolute woes. You know, like, it comes in waves.
Well, also, when you're on TV, you amp it up, I'm sure.
Right, but also, like, when they cut it,
he's
like,
very
of course
animated.
They're going to cut to me being the most exciting. So, like, it just looks like I'm just, like,
okay, that's enough,
time,
EJ. I think we make the point.
Actually.
It's going to be difficult life. It's going to be really hard on you. People make fun of you. People mean to you. You sure you're up for that? I can't believe he said I'm very disappointed. I want you to know I'm very disappointed. You get ready to go into lifestyle. It's going to be very hard on you. Here, Magic, who basically screwed every piece of ass that could walk that looked halfway good, you know, within 10 miles of him.
So much so he attained the HIV virus.
And he's disappointed in his son for being gay.
Yeah.
Get ready to go into lifestyle. It's very hard on you. I don't approve.
I don't approve. It's not asking for you to approve him.
Ugh. He apologized the next day and told EJ.
Okay.
He thought about it, and actually, I'm very proud of you.
Fake. Someone got to him. Cookie got to him. That's
Cookie the read him the right act.
That's how the conversation go, Magic. I told him I'm disappointed in him.
What'd you expect me to tell him, Cookie? Man, I'm so bummed Magic's talk show is not anymore.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Cool his talk show was.
Well, it lives on YouTube.
Oh, I haven't even... That's funny. I have not even considered looking
it
up on YouTube.
Oh, it's on there. I know it's on there.
EJ being gay cuts down to Magic's woman competition?
He doesn't have as much tail competition if his kid's gay. If Magic's sleeping with everything is gay, his kid's gay.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to want anybody that wants Magic's Johnson would have to go for Magic, not EJ.
In an interview with see the interview with Oprah Winfrey, Magic glossed over his initial harsh reaction, said that he knew his son was gay all along and had his full support.
Oh, bullshit.
Boy, Magic's a lot phonier than I ever thought he was. I never would have thought he'd be such an asshole to Cookie. I mean, he was brutal.
Well, look, he got away with it, and she kept coming back to him. He canceled their engagement 3 times. She kept coming back. You know,
What's wrong with her?
He's banging. I don't know. Maybe she liked him that much, I guess.
I mean, doesn't it really sound like something is really wrong with her to put up with that shit?
It doesn't sound like it's a gold-digging factor because she put up with it back in college, although he was famous. I mean, he was
a huge star.
Massive.
I think it does make her sound like a gold-digger. Yeah. Like, I fought for this a long time. I put up with a lot of shit. I'm getting the gold. I'm getting the gold.
Yeah, that's why she cried walking up the aisle. She said something to that effect,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, very much so. All right, well
she's happy today, and he doesn't have AIDS anymore. Or
yeah, he has unattained the AIDS virus.
He lost it.
Does not have the AIDS disease.
EJ's killing it.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy.
He supported him. He's so proud of his son.
Best thing ever happened to him.
Very happy ending, and we survived the ransom virus.
God, I know. Well done, Jay.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Thanks.
Like we were done. Is that the list? Are these supposedly the biggest swordsmen in the business? That page there?
Swordsman, yeah. Yeah, it's a list of some of the better known ones. Yeah.
Warren Beatty's considered number one? Yeah, I could believe
for
that.
For what? Just the number of people?
Well, the quality's really high with Warren Beatty, too. I mean, he gets the best ass. Always did.
But I thought it was always Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt's number three.
Really? What about Gita?
People don't buy that 20,000 number.
Well, mathematically, it doesn't really work out, right?
No, it's like three a day for his entire career, and then some. Magic's fifth on the list.
Jeter?
But Magic had to retire in 91. I mean, he really was not fair. He could not be the swordsman he once was once he attained the AIDS virus.
Who's number two? Did you say number two? Who's number two?
Some unknown.
Lord Byron. Yeah. Nobody even knows who he is.
The poet Lord Byron from England?
Yes.
Whatever. Oh, God. Lame.
Slept with more than 250 women in Venice, Italy in just 1 year. Some reports say he even bedded his own half-sister and some distant cousins.
Hot.
Apparently he kept mementos from the ladies he slept with. Oh, nice keeping your half-sister's panties.
Ew. That's really they didn't wear panties back then.
His cousin's panties, too. Gross.
He kept their merkins.
What a creep. Gene Simmons is fourth.
Oh, God.
Jack Nicholson sixth after Magic. And Jack's never had AIDS. I mean, that's pretty lame. Yeah. He hasn't beaten Magic yet. Umberto Billo.
Who?
He's a porter at the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas. Claims that in his 3 years of employment at the hotel, he slept with 8,000 women just
Bullshit.
By asking.
Bullshit. Who is this guy?
Umberto Billo.
He's a porter?
He's a porter at the Venetian.
No way.
And he claims he slept with 8,000 women just by asking them at the check-in center, hey, will you fuck me?
No!
3 years.
Wait, why is what he just decided to come
$2,500 a year. That's like nine a day.
No
way.
That's
like seven a day. 365 times what equals?
How did he keep his job? There's no way he got any work done.
No. He had to bang him at the porter's table or the porter's closet.
Not only that, look how many he probably had to ask before one would say yes. And why is this a thing? Who did he tell this to? So it's actually
7.3 chicks a day.
No way.
How do you bang 0.3 chicks, too?
Get out of here.
Of course it's wrong. Umberto Billo.
A hand
guy.
Job.
Fidel Castro's number eight.
Really?
2008 documentary claimed the Cuban leader slept with at least two women a day for 40 years and sometimes snuck in a third at dinner.
I don't believe that.
He must have been like JFK because JFK said he couldn't,
couldn't think straight.
Couldn't think straight until he had a strange piece of ass. Charlie Sheen, number nine. His associates up to more than 5,000 women.
I believe that.
Como Casanova, the original lover, barely slept with any women compared to the other men on his list. His memoirs listed in a mere 122 affairs with women. Oh, he slept with dudes, though. Get him off the list. Gross. it's a different list entirely. All right. You know what I was going to ask you, though, before we quit was I saw the Michigan Hall of Fame party thing with Derek Jeter was here for the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They inducted like eight guys in one night.
Yeah.
Is Jim still involved in that?
I don't think so.
Because I was looking at all the pictures looking for Jim and I didn't see him.
Wait a sec. Is this recently then?
Yeah, just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, because
Wallace.
Right. Jeets was supposed to be in last year. And then
Jeets came this year, yeah, because he missed it last year.
You know what? Maybe he was involved in it. I don't know, Drew. If he is, I'm a little mad he didn't reach out to us.
I thought it was a major part of his.
He was last year. He was definitely involved. Because he was big about getting Jeets in.
I knew something had changed. Like they moved and the thing had been sort of restructured. And I didn't know
if he was still in the mix. I don't. To answer your question, I don't know.
But Al Fellhauer's not involved.
Oh, God, no.
He was never involved, was he?
No, it would never get done. Never.
All right, well, everybody have a good one. We're very fortunate to get this broadcast out at all. You're very fortunate to have had this broadcast. It almost it almost was cut short by the ransom virus. But no, we got it out there. Jay solved the puzzle. And you are the beneficiary, of course. So I hope you enjoy these as much. And then some, considering these broadcasts almost didn't happen. But we'll catch you tomorrow anyway with Trudy. And Trudy's got her Q&A on Facebook.
Ooh.
At 8 p.m.
Ooh.
Joey made another promo on Facebook with Trudy with
the boxing gloves. I saw that, yeah.
Where did that picture come from?
Our magazine, I think. Didn't they do that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Joey said they did. They had like a little photo session. And
you know, Joey did a really cool thing too, having people take the pictures with
With the logo?
With the logo. And did you see the last one he put up there?
I saw a bunch of new ones. The guy in the plane?
That's the one I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, very cool.
Or put up there what Joey wrote about him. Badass soldier.
He's a C-5M pilot. Can you push the C more there?
Oh, yes, sir.
He's a C-5M pilot from the United States Air Force from Canton.
Captain Anthony Ziegler. A sincere thank you for the. And then he ends up with fly, fight, win. What a cool thing to end with.
Wow. He, let's see. I've been listening to Ron Mike from the very beginning after I joined the USAF. I listened online whenever I could during the 101 days, although sometimes tough depending on the time zone.
The time's the same everywhere.
Thank you for starting the podcast. Yeah, it is always it's the same, so he should know that. No, he needs to listen. It's incredibly convenient while I'm flying around the world. On a sappy note, I think I speak for other listeners in the military when I say hearing familiar voices and the accompanied humor makes us feel at ease when we're far from home and potentially in harm's way. Podcast provides that warm blanket of familiarity. Well, thank you. That's fantastic.
I don't know. I just thought that one was really cool.
Moto Ziegler. Anthony Moto Ziegler, a captain in the U.S. Air Force, listening to the podcast in that badass plane, man. How cool is that?
I will admit, when Joe first told me about it, I'm like, who's going to do that? But then now I'm kind of getting off seeing everybody and where they're at and where they're listening.
I know. People from Singapore are listening.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's really
crazy.
Cool. Although, I don't know if you saw the guy I ran into last weekend at the Michigan game.
Who's that?
Just a listener, Mike. Oh, boy. I probably should have his name. Damn it.
Who that?
Mike.
Where was he from?
He's from here. He just happened to be sitting in the same area. Oh, hang on.
Well, you know, when we did the charity thing, when you know, I was taking people to the Michigan games like for 3 years in a row. Joe Vetting was one of the guys that bid and won, and I went with Joe and his wife Margo to a game. Joe's coming in this weekend for the Colorado game.
So he is?
Yeah, he'll be at the tailgate this weekend with Margo, about half her family. Well, maybe more than half her family. Maybe her family and then half. They're from Colorado, so they're coming in to see the Buffaloes.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, except for...
It could be cool. It could be not very cool, too. I asked him, are they going to be okay if the Buffaloes take a beating? Because the Wolverines are looking mighty good. I don't know
if
the
Buffaloes looking pretty good, too, man.
Yeah, the Buffaloes are better. They've been bad for a long time. I mean, they used to be such a great program.
Yeah, they beat up on Colorado State and, I believe, Idaho State. This is where it poses a problem for Michigan. They play really fast on offense. Just like last week.
It'll be an interesting test.
And they can do what Central Florida did and kind of load the box because their defensive backs are really good. So, I don't know. It's obviously the best test of the year so far.
Yeah, and I've been dying to see them play a better team. You know, I wish they were even better than they are just to get a test, to get some kind of a litmus test of how good Michigan is.
But the big game really happens in South Bend.
Yeah.
Michigan State and Notre Dame.
I don't know how good either of those teams are. Notre Dame is supposed to be so good, but they lost that opener.
I believe, to Texas. That was that was a great game.
Notre Dame can't lose another game. I mean, they lose one more game, it's over.
They're out. But they could run the table now and still make it in.
Yeah, but run the table. How easy is that?
Well, anybody that's going to make it almost has to run the table, right?
This is one, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of the biggest games on Michigan State's schedule, too. It's just not a game I think they can count on winning necessarily.
No. Uh-uh. By the way, I believe today is the 10-year anniversary of Mike Clark's messages from that game.
Oh!
I think it's the
Notre Dame-Michigan game when Notre Dame made the amazing
Michigan
comeback?
Michigan State-Notre Dame, yeah.
Oh, right. Michigan State, of course.
And where Clark ends with that fat fuck Charlie Woods. Is that what he says?
It's the funniest thing on that.
Another
is
one. Yeah.
He's on the phone complaining about Notre Dame's last drive when they got the ball back, and Drew Stanton gets intercepted while he's on the phone.
That was awesome.
Yelling in his message.
That was fantastic. That was one of the most epic collapses ever.
The peak of his voicemails was when Michigan made the comeback at Ann Arbor.
Overtime
game.
Yeah.
That was when the thing really peaked. I think the Notre Dame game might have been the next season.
It's like having...
Yeah, because it was 2003 with the Michigan State comeback. Wasn't that 2003 or was that 2005?
2005, and then 2006 would have been 10 years ago. It's like having half a day.
I was 2 years off.
Wasn't that his famous quote?
Yeah, there's like having there's half like a day. 5 minutes left. That's like having half a day for Michigan.
It used to be that way. Mike Londo.
Are those online anywhere, Jay?
They are somewhere. Mike Londo is the guy I met at the game last week.
Oh, okay.
For whatever that's worth. But he's a cool dude. Good guy.
You want to...
I look really burnt in the picture he took, too.
Just make a quick search for Clark's voicemails. Michigan State, Notre Dame. I don't know how easy it'd be to find those, but how'd you know it was a 10-year anniversary, Mark?
Because my buddy, who's a Notre Dame fan, reminded me about it.
Oh, the game was, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's funny, because, yeah, the game means the same thing to me, Mike Clark's messages. He was so pissed.
What's the date today?
14th.
The 14th, okay.
How funny that the minute Mike Clark loses interest because he's so beaten down, Michigan State gets really good.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because I really don't know how much he's enjoying their success.
Enjoying it.
I think he is, but not like he would have.
No, he can't rub it into my face. Don't worry. People have picked that up for him.
There's his garage door one.
The crutch.
Well, that one is so funny when he's driving to work after... Actually, I'd almost rather hear that one.
Do you know what was weird about that? Do you remember what was weird about that?
His sister driving?
Well, the directions, too. I forgot about that. But no, the fact that we couldn't get a hold of him for the longest time. He didn't even call in. It's like, God, is he okay? Where is he?
Because he was trying to think of how to market it. He was trying to figure out how in the show am I going to explain this without getting beaten up?
As if.
Wednesday, 6:24 a.m.
Hey, Matt, it's Mike Clark. We've been talking about
John
here.
For the garage door.
Yeah. I'm on the way to work with my sister and Trish right now at 6:30. And you know why?
Poor Trish.
Because, Matt, the garage door was all the way down, and I felt pretty good today. I mean, I was well-rested and everything, and I stepped out in the garage. Look past the light, but if you turn them up. And I put it in reverse, and I slammed into the garage door. So, Matt, the truck is trapped in the garage. The wheels are off, the runners. It literally ripped a section.
The car's trapped in the garage.
One turn left, followed him. Sit there. And right on the expressway. And I was giving my sister directions. And anyway, so the garage door is off the runners. It's like bowed in the middle. So I sort of pushed in from the outside. It also hit hard enough.
Why is he explaining all the damage in the phone call?
The rails for the opener. Are literally pulled a little bit free from the ceiling, and this whole shower of insulation came down from the attic.
Shower of insulation.
So, man, I was like, Trish is going to be home all day, just looking for an emergency repair, and Nancy, I don't care what it costs. You might as well. The biggest thing is we got to get the truck out of the garage. Today. So even if we don't fix the garage, say, Matt, if we could just get somebody out to really bust the door off the hinges, get it out of the way, to get the truck outside the house, okay? That's paramount. And then it's going to need it's going to need the whole new thing, I would say. Obviously, a new garage door, new rail, I mean, the whole thing from the very beginning is going to have to be rebuilt, the whole thing. So, anyway, man, so I'm myself for a okay? So, and again, the main thing for today is just, you know, doing whatever.
Oh,
get that truck out. And then the garage door for the thought there can be leaned up against the garage and left.
It doesn't mean people listen. No.
Okay? All right, man, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot. Sorry, what's with me and my garage door? What is the problem?
All right, it was closed. That's a problem. I totally missed the shower of insulation in the past.
That's hilarious, yeah.
I must have been too busy laughing about something else he said right before that.
That man really knows how to paint a picture.
A shower of insulation.
We need to, like, amongst all of us who've received messages from Mike, who's got the shortest message from Mike? I mean, messages are miles long.
That's a great question.
Who's got the shortest one?
The shortest phone message would be a miracle. I mean, he'd have to be sick to leave
one. I had a real short one from him once. Remember on Halloween? Do you remember that one? He's like, "What are you sleeping? It's Halloween. How many kids came for candy? Call me later." That's all it was. It was really, really short.
You know what else is a short
one? I think that
one
exists out there, too. We used to play it.
Remember when he had a long weekend and he just decided to go bowling by himself?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm bowling.
I'm on the east side, and I'm bowling.
Like he just discovered the sport existed. And I'm bowling. And you can hear a ball hit the pins.
Mm-hmm.
The sound effects are great on that one. Yeah, it's just me, myself, and I, and I'm bowling.
That was his bachelor weekend, wasn't it?
That was. That's right. Because Trish was out of town.
For the first time ever.
Yeah, which peaked at the blackjack table at Motor City Casino. When he could not lose, at the same time he could not stay awake.
Yeah.
And we were pushing chips out for him and waking him up just so he could hit the table to get more cards.
I remember the dealer did not seem very happy about that, but the pit boss certainly didn't care. He allowed it.
Yeah, he did. It was okay.
Saturday, October 30th at 6:35 p.m.
Hey, Drew, it's Mike. It's 11 minutes left in the fourth, and MSU, up 20 to 10, two scores away. Wow, and this all without Drew Stanton. Wow, unbelievable.
This is not the most exuberant message, not even close.
Somehow, Michigan pulled out in the end, like they're doing against all odds. Could they pull it out? I don't think so. Did I dare predict a victory? It still is MSU. Anything can happen, and I've seen it all. So, I don't know. We just had a nice run back right there. Very nice indeed. I don't know, man. I don't know. Right now I want to be so happy and say it's over, but it is state, and Michigan always pulls them up. But there is two scores. A touchdown and a field goal. Will the Spartans go to victory? Same bat time, same bat channel. Anyway, man, give me a call if you get this. Oh, man, I'll see you.
And then the onside kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Michigan State fumbled, he was so pissed at that guy. And what did he think that was happening on the sideline that he was so upset? No, that was
the Notre Dame Michigan State.
That's right. Yeah.
I just looked it up, by the way. It was 10 years ago, but it was September 25th would have been the day he left the message. 23rd was the game, so we still have time to come up with those messages for the anniversary.
All right, we'll wrap it up here again. The miracle show that almost never happened, and you got to enjoy the whole thing. Hopefully, you appreciate this as much as you should, as much as I appreciate it for you. We'll catch you tomorrow with Mark and Trudy again. Trudy on Facebook tomorrow at 8 p.m. Get your questions ready and pelt her the way you pelted me and the way you pelted Mark. See if Trudy can still take a punch, as a little promo on Facebook says. So in the meantime, we'll see ya.